This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
High noon, Jones and Keith. No Keith today on the holiday. We got Mego for a Jones and Mego reunion. Taking your phone calls, 617-779-7937. Those were the Kachucks roughing up a few Canadians, roughing up, quote unquote, a few Canadians to start that game over the weekend. I said this earlier. I put the call out for TC earlier today. TC, you can call back at any point and take a victory lap. I was wrong about the Four Nations tournament because that on Saturday night, Mego, was awesome. It was awesome. And I never in a million years saw it coming. I've called it the international beanpot. I didn't think players would care. I didn't think fans would care. You could hear the crowd there. And that's in the Bell Center. You could hear the crowd there going bananas, almost to the point where you can make a case it blew up in the U.S.'s face. I think you can make that case. But it was fun. It was awesome. It was entertaining. And I think a lot of people now are very, very much looking forward to USA-Sweden tonight-ish, but definitely a potential rematch USA and Canada on Thursday at the Garden.
Yeah, my only fear here is that because of USA-Sweden not holding as much weight for USA in the tournament format, that it's going to lose some of the momentum that you have going towards the final. Because hopefully you get USA-Canada in the final, and you get that in Boston, and that would hopefully be a charged, in a fun way, atmosphere. But if I feel like you have this little lag time where this game is not as meaningful for USA. But I agree with you. From the jump, super fun product. I thought that the fights were highly entertaining. You get the booing ahead of time that leads up to it. It feels in a way like professional wrestling, where you have the storyline of the booing a couple days before at the Bell Center, and then you move into it. You find out there's these group texts going around with these Gen Z guys texting each other. And it's like your buddies going to a party at the other high school, like kid's house, where you're like, they're just looking for a reason. Just give me one reason. You booed the anthem. Let's go. And now everybody has to pretend like they like the Kachucks in Boston.
I thought, and no, by the way, Monty Mac, Matthew Kachuk did not win his fight. I don't know how many punches were landed in either fight. Am I saying they didn't win their fight? No, they didn't
win. We're being a little gratuitous with the fight, by the way.
What do you mean?
I mean, it was a lot of like, hey, come at me, hey. You know, they had like the Duke
stuff. I don't like their country, see?
Yeah, so I mean,
it looked very 1890s boxing.
It was awesome. It was awesome.
Fun, and it was also goofy.
It was calculated. I didn't see it coming. It was somewhat pro wrestling, but whatever. It was sweet. I don't think they won their fights. And again, I would make the case the fights hurt the U.S. They were down 1-0 right after those fights.
They still won.
No, but they won because they outplayed Canada. Did they get a tangible lift from those fights?
No.
They were down 1-0. McDavid flew through the whole defense. They were down 1-0. And that's because the Kachucks won their fight. We're all leaving out JT Miller getting pummeled by Parayko. Parayko's much bigger. He shouldn't win the fight.
Turns out if he has a foot and a half on you, probably don't want to fight that guy.
You definitely lost that fight. And so, no, I thought it was great, and I was wrong about it, and I thought I was focused too much on the stakes. I'm like, there's no stakes to this stupid thing. It's never been done before. Nobody cares. It's the international beanpot. I know, but there's been other international tournaments where the players just kind of float through it.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a best on best. Maybe it's a bad analogy, but like the world championships, those happen every year. Those are for international pride and bragging rights, and nobody cares. No one gives two craps about the world championships. And again, it's not best on best. It's all the guys who missed the playoffs representing their country. Fine. But I was worried it would be more of that. And I was worried the guys wouldn't go full out and the guys wouldn't care. And that I will completely take the L on that. I'm wrong. It's clear I'm wrong. And furthermore, even if it was staged and a spectacle and it was planned, I don't care. Like, look at the buzz those fights created. Without the Tkachuks starting it off with the two fights and then, you know, three fights in 9-10 seconds, whatever it was. Without that and the viral aspect that it created on social media, I'll agree with what Curtis said earlier today. That's a rare example where social media actually worked out and did a positive thing and created all this buzz around this event. Without the fights, I don't think we'd be talking about it the same way. If the U.S. just beat Canada 3-1 and it was a well-played hockey game, this would have no buzz. It would be buzzless. But that was a spectacle. It was fantastic, and it was entertaining on Saturday night.
Yeah, even if it was just the booing of the national anthem, that's been going on for a month now because of the political stuff going on between U.S. and Canada. But if nothing had happened on the ice, we didn't have that juice. I agree. They wouldn't dominate the weekend the way that they dominated the weekend. They wouldn't still be a conversation going into this week. I don't know if it's as big a conversation elsewhere in the country for the rest of the week because we have it here in Boston. So it also has this like super local angle. But it's a fun story that I wasn't expecting to blow up in the way it did.
No, and it rated very well. 4.5 million people watched that on Saturday night, which for hockey is a big, big number. USA-Finland did not do terribly before that. It was one of the highest rated hockey games all year. I mean, it should be. It's a standalone tournament. But I think that had like 1.5 million viewers.
We don't even have drama with Finland, right?
Not well.
Do we have Finnish drama that I don't know about?
I don't know if you've heard this Keefspiracy, but Finland actually not even a real place.
What do you mean? There was a kid from Finland who came to my middle school.
Yeah. Well,
his name was Yusuf.
Yeah, Finland is not a real place. You can Google it.
He wore male capri pants.
You can Google it. It was created by, well, definitely Russia and maybe Japan. It was created so that they could fish in those international waters where Finland, it's Finland's international waters. They
was
created
this. Was this part of Keith's Keys?
Yeah, it was actually. Yeah.
Okay.
If you missed that on Friday, Keith's Keys of the Four Nations, it was part of them, yes. But yeah, Finland doesn't actually exist, which is why we only have games in Canada and the U.S., no games in Finland.
This is a very political take by Keith.
Yeah, you can dig in on that. It's on Google. Go ahead and Google it.
Google's never wrong.
No, I've not that I've seen. And so when you get back into this tournament and it getting back underway, it does lose a little momentum with USA-Sweden tonight. I don't think Tkachuk's going to play in the game tonight, Matt Tkachuk. He didn't finish the last 12 minutes or whatever it was of the third period on Saturday night. So are you going to have him? Canada's going to get Makar back. Binnington, I guess, was the first off today. I just saw that in the Twitch chat. I would think Canada learned their lesson from playing Jordan Binnington, but maybe not. And certainly the luster will all be gone. If it's USA-Sweden in the final on Thursday and it's not Canada.
It doesn't pack the same punch.
It wouldn't. But the fact that it's in your face and at the Garden on Thursday is also interesting. The backdrop of the anthems. You think we're going to boo the Canadian anthem?
I think people will definitely boo the Canadian anthem.
What do you mean by people? Like a few stray people or like most of the building?
I think it'll be noticeable. If I had to predict, I would predict it's going to be noticeable.
I don't.
I would not do it personally, but you don't think people are going to boo it?
I mean, again, a stray person maybe, but I don't think it's going to be. No, I don't think we typically boo anthems in this country.
I got to say, I didn't know up until the last month that it was a big thing for the Canadians to boo our anthem. And our anthem is very long. So, I mean, I can understand why they would be like, oh, God, this one again.
I like it. Mego just hates the anthem. Mego, you hate this anthem. It's too long. It's no good.
I feel like it's a pretty mainstream take to say that there are better songs than the anthem that they
could
pivot to.
You just want it updated. That's all it is.
Yeah.
Not even updated.
Yeah, give it a beat.
Yeah,
maybe. Throw some hip-hop flair.
Get mustard on the beat.
Mustard.
Oh, say, can you mustard?
What are you doing? But no, so I don't think we're going to boo the anthem on Thursday, and I would be disappointed. Do whatever you want. I'm not telling you what to do, but I don't think we typically boo anthems in this country.
Wait, were you just about to say that you'll be disappointed if they boo the anthem or if they
I'll be disappointed
boo the
if
anthem.
They boo the anthem.
If
yeah.
they boo the Canadian anthem.
Yes.
Yeah. That's because you're part Canadian.
Well, it's some of that, I'm sure. But no, they'll boo the anthem in Montreal. That's not unique to this. And so it's a political statement. I agree with that. But get used to our anthem. You're going to be the 51st state. which then that's bad news for the Dakotas, because I think we got to sandwich the Dakotas together. I don't want more than 50 states. I don't want that. I don't need that.
Do we really need two Dakotas?
No. We don't need two Virginias, and we don't need two Carolinas either.
I would hesitate to say there's a pretty big difference between Virginia and West Virginia. So I think maybe that one's a tougher sell. The Carolinas, again, like, I mean, if you're not on the beach, who cares? All due respect to Asheville, which is lovely. Mm-hmm. But the Dakotas, it seems like a real obvious.
That's the first one we sandwiched together.
An obvious merger.
So we bring in Canada.
We're doing mergers and acquisitions.
And this is not a unique take. I've co-opted this take, but I like it. If we bring in Canada, we need to stay at 50 states. I'm sorry, not if. When we bring in Canada, we need to sandwich these states together. So I would say the Dakotas are the first to go. And then when we bring in Greenland, I'd say Virginia's, you're on the clock.
Do you think Massachusetts should take Rhode Island?
Well, why?
Because it's so little.
Yeah.
This is my same feeling that I think Maryland should take Delaware.
Mego, you're poking the bear today with changing the anthem. Get ready for the flood of 401 text you're about to get from
that. I'm saying it because I love Rhode Island. Mm-hmm. So I would like Massachusetts to take Rhode Island.
Okay.
It'd be delightful.
Your stance on all of this, 617-779-7937. What'd you think of the fighting the other night? Did it actually help the U.S.? I'd make the case that it didn't, despite it being awesome to watch and entertaining to watch. Let's start with Jake in Boston. Hello, Jake.
What's up? Hi, boy. Hi, girl. So I've had my seats for this since October, and anyone who spent any time around hockey players knew it was coming. The Olympics have been part of the CBA. Like, that's how important it is. And Jones, you're a basketball guy, mm-hmm. but when you were a Husky, you had a coach in Greg Cronin who started to pluck Canadian talent and put them in the NCAA system.
If you
and
say
I know
so.
You've seen best. Oh, listen, I know you've seen best on best here for the first time in a decade here, but this is all about this moment in time and where Canada stands as a hockey country. That's what made Saturday night so sweet, because their time is over, and I'm not quoting Herb Brooks. I'm saying that. I'm looking at it and saying we've outdeveloped them for the last 15 years at the junior level. Our national team development program is a juggernaut. And then with the NCAA and NIL, college hockey gets better by the day, and you throw in NIL – and we've just decimated their entire junior hockey structure. That Canadian junior game, which is such a fabric of their culture, it's dying, and they know it.
Yeah, so the U.S. Jake, I get it. The U.S. has started to win World Juniors head-to-head with Canada. I understand that. But when it comes to the next match, if we get USA-Canada in a rematch, you like the USA's chances. You think Canada's done?
This is the only thing they've got left, this top rung of talent that they have in terms of development. And you'll see it's mostly the forwards. They haven't developed great defensemen outside of McCarr. Like, Drew Doughty's still on this team. Drew Doughty and Crosby are the only two players on that 2010 team that are still around. So, and they can't develop goaltenders anymore. So this is very forward-based. The development structure of their entire country has gone down the tubes, and they know it. And then you have this public shaming that's existed over the last couple of years because there's an unfortunate sexual assault trial that has resulted in a national shaming of the Canadian hockey program at that junior level. They have crushed the development. And so if they win on Thursday night, it will be a microcosm of what's happened in the last 15 years.
Okay, fair enough. So I look at it and say U.S. might not have Tkachuk. Canada might get McCarr back. Hopefully Canada does not have good goaltending options. He's right about that. Mm-hmm. I can't fathom rolling Binnington back out there, but that's just me. U.S. has a decided advantage and goal, and maybe they have a better, more youthful roster. I wouldn't just hand wave away Canada's high-end talent.
No,
even if it's older,
either.
I wouldn't hand wave that away.
No, especially when you're talking about one game. I mean, you say it's a microcosm of what's happening in the country, and I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I am following what's going on with youth hockey in Canada.
I'm oblivious to that as well, yeah.
But I'd say for one game, that doesn't have a huge impact.
Okay. 617-779-7937. JP is in North Providence. What's up, JP?
Jones, Mego. Annex, Rhode Island. You got the right guy on the phone there, Mego. You know, Mego, I've always complimented you on BST at night. I've had a crush on you. You're brilliant.
Thank you. You're gorgeous.
You belong on the radio. But here's something before we get to the hockey. Adam Jones and Bill Belichick, the coaching tree. Jones, Keith. Jones, Cattles, Jones, Arcan, Jones, Keith, now Jones, Mago. Mago, it's been nice listening to you before you disappear to Siberia and another station.
That's
but we need Rhode Island.
Okay.
Jones,
yes.
I love the hockey. This was like Team Canada. I'm old enough to remember when they went at it with Russia with third-degree assault on the ice. If you ever looked at the clips, we need to add Russia to this format. It was outstanding, and I can't wait. And you know what we need Thursday night? Throw a tape of Rene Rancourt singing the anthem.
Okay. I think there were more tapes of Rene over the years than maybe you realize. But so when it comes to... when it comes to the scene on Thursday, well, actually, take a step back.
Okay.
The Four Nations, it's imperfect in that the countries that are there. So I don't know if you need six nations, eight nations. You just need
You say one of them doesn't even exist.
You need to get the right four. I'd punt Finland the hell out of the thing. I get they're one of the best hockey countries in the world. I get that. They're not interesting. No one's interested in Finland. That's the style of play they play, which is abhorrent and boring. But on top of that, it's also just no one cares. I don't care about Finland. I would much rather have Russia in this tournament. But maybe you expand it. It's not four nations anymore. It's eight nations. I don't know. That's another reason why I thought this tournament was destined to fail or fall flat on its face. I didn't think people would care. I just didn't think there were enough interesting teams, which I think you're kind of seeing. When the U.S. plays Finland, it's meh. When the U.S. plays Sweden, part of it's because the game doesn't matter to U.S. tonight, it's meh. It's about USA-Canada. It's about that rivalry. Russia would add to that. So I agree with him on that. His other point, well, besides all the co-hosts, he left out producers. There's a lot of producers.
And how hot I am.
Well, that too.
Yeah.
There's a lot of producers over the years, too. If you want to add that to the list, JP, you could actually make a much more extensive list. What was this other point?
Some of them have left the business altogether. work at breweries.
I was texted by one earlier today when I was chastising Truck Day. And so still a listener, but left the ran off the industry entirely.
Yes.
Yeah. So what was his other point? He had another point about this tournament. Between the fighting, which I think didn't help the U.S. as much, but it was a great spectacle. Oh, I know what it was. He said, expect more of the same. Can they match what they did? Like, did they, I don't want to say peak too soon, but what reeled in a lot of people was that premeditated aspect of the fighting with the Tkachuks to get it started. Can you replicate any of that, or is that just, would you be forcing it at that point in time? Would it be lame to try to replicate that?
Yes. Yes, so, it would definitely be lame if you're trying to manufacture it, but even the first one
was kind of manufactured. 100% manufactured.
They're texting each other before the game, saying, like, give me one reason, and we're going to go out there and drop the gloves. But I still think bringing it back on your own U.S. soil is going to ramp it up a little bit, at least for the American guys. Maybe the Canadian guys won't want any part of it. Because they are coming off of a loss, so it's less heated
for them. They don't want this American smoke.
I don't know. I really think it all depends on kind of the atmosphere in the garden, and you don't think there's going to be a lot of booing.
I don't.
Will the Canadians travel down to Boston to boo us?
I don't know. I think it's hard to get these tickets these days. I actually meant to ask Jake that when he was on the line earlier.
Super, super expensive.
No, they are.
Just to get in the building.
The get-in price is through the roof. Yeah, a buddy of mine has tickets, and it's buying those in advance was smart. That was good business. Whether you want to go, whether you don't want to go, if you want to resell those tickets, like that was good business to get in on these early because they're a hot commodity right now. So no, I don't think unless they already bought them, I don't think a lot of Canadians are going to get last minute tickets to come down and boo the anthem in Boston.
Yeah, this is a little bit of a stretch.
I wouldn't recommend that either. But no, I would be again. Do what you want. I'm not going to say kick you out of the country or anything, but. I would be disappointed if we were booing their anthem. They booed ours. It's classless. And so I wouldn't turn around and boo theirs. I would.
You're saying when they go low, we go high.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. To paraphrase Michelle Obama, yes. That's actually directly quoting Michelle
Yes,
Obama.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, okay,
yes,
so I'm not even paraphrasing. Yeah, that's me and Michelle Obama.
I wouldn't boo. I don't know the last time that I booed at something in public. I would feel uncomfortable doing that, and I do think it's disrespectful, but I also wouldn't turn my nose up at other people booing. Like, you're there, it's a sporting event, whether it's because of your politics or what.
I'm much more okay with booing
own team.
Yeah, the product on the ice.
You want a friendly fire boo.
I'm sending a message to the players or booing ownership. Like, there's been all kinds of Fire Sweeney chants this year, which I'm fine with. Like, I'm more okay with that. You're paying your hard-earned money to get in there. Boo the team you're paying to go watch. The anthem to me is a little different, but whatever.
The fire chants make me really uncomfortable, deeply uncomfortable.
Because you want to partake, but you're like, I can't do this.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, I'm holding myself back.
I'm a member of the media. You just want to get in there and chant.
No, I don't know. It feels kind of gross to listen to people say that they want somebody to lose their job, even if I agree. It's just like listening to 100+ people, because usually those fire, let's just say Fire Mayo chants. I was in the building for that. It was in a huge there wasn't a huge group of the fans in the stadium. It was like one area of the stands that was chanting that. It made me feel really bad. I was like, that's probably horrible to hear. Now you're getting paid millions of dollars. You're a former professional athlete. Your team is doing terribly.
You're bad at your job.
You should have thick enough skin to deal with that. And I think he did. But as somebody who's a spectator to the booing, it's uncomfortable.
617.
Boo. Mecca doesn't like booing. Boo.
617-779-7937. You can jump in on this. Again, I would be very disappointed not to hear from our guy TC today after taking me to task last week about not being a fan of the Four Nations. I'm wrong. I'll take the L on this one. You can jump in again. 617-779-7937. We'll get back to the Red Sox as well later on this hour. Sam Kennedy spoke today, says the Red Sox aren't done. So we'll get to that right after trending with Joe Braverman.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry's starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy.
Andy Hart and WEEI Afternoons come your way at 2 o'clock. Actually, I'm not sure Hart's in today. I strike that from the record. I think it's Fitzy.
John Lyons and Dan Ball.
Nice.
So lots of Andy Hart jokes, I'm sure, come your way at 2 o'clock. Big win for the United States. Fun game, entertaining product, which, again, I didn't understand how seriously the players would take this. I was wrong about that. Some dribs and drabs of information leading up to Canada-Finland, which puck drops on that at 1 o'clock today over at the Garden. It's U.S. and Sweden tonight. We knew Tkachuk was going to be out of the lineup. Charlie McAvoy also out of the lineup for the U.S. It's going to be Jake Oettinger in goal, which would tell you that they're getting Hellebuck a little rest going into the final on Thursday. And then on the other side for Canada, still no Makar. They're messing around with their lineup a little bit as well, resting some guys. And then it's still Jordan Binnington, which fascinates me because he was so brutal in that game.
That first goal was unforgivable. That was bad. So, yeah, I'm surprised. But I guess they still feel like he's the best option, so they're rolling him out there.
Yeah, I mean, Bruins fans, I don't need to tell you. Jordan Binnington has come up pretty big in pivotal games in the Garden before. So I wouldn't lean too much into that. That was a long time ago with Binnington. But perhaps that's at stake as well. If the U.S. tries to replicate, I was just reading some of Brady Tkachuk was talking about, how social media turned into this thing we didn't really expect, and it's great to get eyeballs on our sport and people interested in our sport and bring fans over to our sport. Which, if you got to manufacture something like that and stage something, I guess that's never bad to get more eyeballs on your sport, but I almost think you could disappoint some people who expect every game to be like that, and then they tune in tonight against Sweden or even in the final on Thursday, hopefully against Canada, and then you're like, wait, where's all the fighting? I thought this is what I was supposed to get. So I think you could disappoint some people in that way. But if they're trying to replicate any of that on Thursday, from Saturday night on this Thursday, is there any way to do that? Is there a way where you can, you know, not line brawl to start the game or anything like that, have it come up more organically in the middle of the game? Like, is there a way to replicate that, or is that just kind of out the window and it's got to be about the hockey and the stakes of winning the game?
Maybe if you enlist some politicians. I don't know.
Will we get Trump in the House on Thursday? He was at the Daytona 500. He's at all these sporting events. It's a big sporting event.
Yeah, he was at the Super Bowl for a little while. Yeah. Heard he left early.
Yeah.
You know, he's got a lot to do. So maybe you get him in
Boston. It wasn't a very good game, yeah.
I don't blame him. Yeah. It wasn't an entertaining product. But hey, this could be a really entertaining product. And you could get him there and he could see, you know, the reception that Canada gets and maybe base some of his policies off of that. But I don't think you can really manufacture it. And I guess to the point that we were talking about earlier, the guys did a little bit when they had their group chat on Team USA talking about, like, we're going to go out there and kick some ass at the first chance that we get. But are you going to do that every time you see Canada? Then it kind of doesn't. I mean,
aren't we all hoping for it?
Risk of a bad pun, it doesn't pack the same punch.
No, it's true. We're hoping for it, though, right? Like, I hope there's more of that. I don't just want the hockey. Like, the hardcore hockey fans just want the hockey. All of the rest of us want all the other stuff that came along with that.
Well, you can also have the atmosphere be chippy without having it 100%. Be all-out brawls to start.
So maybe there's the happy medium, right? Where it's like, it's not just the hockey. It's not full-on drop the gloves the second the opening face-off is done. But maybe there is a way to kind of middle that.
You want to sense that there's tension between these two teams and that it all comes down to that they're pissed off and they actually care about beating this other team and something that's not related to the regular season.
It's not the first time the U.S. has beat Canada in a game that didn't really matter. This is a qualifier to get to a championship. They got to still get it done in the championship. And so it would be very USA hockey to fall flat on their faces on Thursday at the Garden. Fortunately, there's not a ton of Bruins on this team, just McAvoy, to go out there and choke in a pivotal game at the Garden. But it would be very Team USA to do that. So they still have to finish the deal, is my point. It's not just, we beat them and beat them up and in your face for booing our anthem. Now you're on your home ice and you got to get it done on Thursday, hopefully against Canada. And we'll see if they actually finish off the job. You got to finish off the job. You think there's a lesson in this for the NBA and other leagues for their All-Star games?
I don't know. know so much about other leagues because the Pro Bowl just seems kind of like a lost cause. I don't know what you do with that. The game is so physical and such a risk every time that you go out there to play that I think it's going to be hard for you to find something that's even football adjacent that is actually compelling compared to the regular season game, the way that Four Nations is for the NHL. For basketball, it's just time we do USA versus everybody. USA versus the world.
To replace the All-Star game.
Yeah. I think it can be your All-Star game. It can be all the Americans, be it LeBron, if he actually played, Curry and the Jays and Kevin Durant, and you can get Anthony Edwards on there too, versus the guys who are in the conversation for MVP, which is Jokic, Doncic, Giannis, Wemby, you can throw in there. Like, we hear so much about complaints that these guys from Europe are coming in and taking over the U.S. game. And we hear Adam Silver talking about it being a global game, basketball. So I feel like it has a natural kind of solution there.
So, look, I'd rather watch that than what we watched this weekend. Like the NBA All-Star game was an abomination. That whole new format, Team Chuck, Team Shaq, all the stupidity of that. Never mind, it was short games. It was a three-hour broadcast with three, like, 10-minute games.
They really overestimated how much people cared about Shaq, Chuck, and Kenny. Like, they really overplayed
overestimated.
That hand.
Yeah, sorry, I heard that backwards. They totally overestimated that.
It's like
that.
They learned over
Why
the
do
last,
I care?
They learned over the last couple years that people love the studio show, but now they want to gear everything possible towards the studio show because they think it's the one thing that they have that's working.
Why are there G Leaguers at the All-Star game? Like, why?
Doesn't make any sense.
Or, you know, rising stars. Why is there any of that? That's stupid. So the whole format was dumb and pointless. And I'm with you on USA versus the world. I'd much rather watch that. I still think I want East versus West, real traditional All-Star game. That would be my personal preference. But if you want to bring in an international element to it, fine. I don't think you'll ever get the international players playing the same way that Canada, U.S., even Sweden and Finland are, because the world is, that's not your country.
Well, you say that now. You don't know what the politicians are going to do next year.
Good point. I mean, this is a good point. But I think if Giannis were putting on like the Greek uniform, that'd be great for, you know, his national pride. But Greece is not. None of these other countries individually can hold a candle to the U.S. from a basketball standpoint.
Right.
They can't. So you have to put the world together. And now you have Gilgeous Alexander not playing for Canada, his country, but playing for the world. I don't think you're going to get the same effort level out of it.
That could be Team USA in a year.
What was it?
Well, that could be Team USA.
Yeah, that's true.
Mego said earlier we should take over Canada just for the fact that SGA could play on the U.S.
I did not say that. I said maybe we would have to do North America versus the world because I want SGA on Team North America.
I'm sorry. That is what you said.
But you're right. The way that the things might be turning out, if America's hat just turns into the 51st state, then you get SGA on Team USA.
Are there any good players from Greenland? That's what we need. That's what we're really tapping into, all the international talent in Greenland. And so, yeah, I don't mind that format. I would watch it, and it would be better than what they had. No, than last night, it cannot.
The all the breaks and
everything.
I think
just going back to East-West is more than fine. I don't know why people don't even want that.
Because East-West was based on the idea that you didn't get to see the players in the other conference all the time because of everything was the local rights of the TV rights. So you'd only see them in the playoffs or you'd only see them in the finals. It doesn't make sense anymore because you can get NBA League Pass or just stay up late and watch any team you want.
Oh, I've seen this too. So it's basically a Ryder Cup idea that you have, right? And I've seen this a lot, actually. We were talking about this earlier. Text line, 617-779-7937. Team Europe in the Ryder Cup plays very hard. True. I do think that's a little different when you're talking, and not that all these countries are always aligned, but that is one specific area of the world versus the entire world.
Right.
And so, I don't know.
Well, maybe you do. The thing is, if you do Team
Canada,
Europe, then
Canada
you might
and Australia are
guys.
Pretty different. Europe, you have a lot of overlap with those countries, is my only point.
Yeah, maybe you do. Maybe it's continental. The continental All-Star Games.
This is the problem. We're too good at basketball. And
it's not the problem, Jones. The best individual players right now are from Europe.
I know, but they're all from one country. Like, there's not two good guys from Slovenia. There's not two. There's two pretty good guys from Canada. So maybe I'll take that back. You know, they're all from one country. So you don't have another country that can compete with the U.S. That's my point. If you put them all together as the world, they could. But are they going to care? So the good thing about us in hockey is we're not the best country in the world. We're not.
I think we make this a full spectacle. We put a basketball court in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean.
Nice.
And it's floating on an aircraft carrier. And then you play the North America versus Europe.
Yeah. You play at the South China Sea. Winner gets to drill. That's what you do. And so, you know, when it comes to fixing the form, there's a lot they can do. I just think you need talent in the dunk contest. I still like the dunk contest. I still watched. The problem is it's Mac McClung winning. Nobody knows who that is.
He's dunks, only famous for the dunk contest.
The dunks are awesome. I still think you have something to work with on Saturday night, NBA All-Star Weekend. Maybe that's nostalgia. Maybe that's me still being a 10-year-old. But I still think there's something to work with there that the NHL never had. And, you know, Major League Baseball kind of has in the Home Run Derby. There's still something there to work with. You got to get it right. But there's something to work with. The All-Star game in the NBA is broken.
It's how you motivate the players is the biggest thing.
For
you can have USA for the world all you want, but it will be a failure if the players aren't actually
invested. I think like it's just that a lot of the players are not trying to motivate other players. Like Jaylen Brown made a big statement in at least trying to do the dunk contest. Didn't end up working out for him.
No.
Looking good for him.
He scared off all the good players this year with how bad he did
last
year.
It's just not a league where the stars go in and compete in the dunk contest anymore, so none of the younger guys follow.
Good point by Dubs985 in the Twitch chat. We fixed All-Star games on Friday. I forgot about this. We had a caller, I think it was Bruce, in New Hampshire. It's Battle of the Network Stars. Every city, you get athletes from across all the sports.
Ooh.
NBA, NHL, MLB, NFL. And then they all compete head-to-head with one another.
Doing so it'd
be
what?
Like various things like the Battle of the Network Stars, almost like the challenge.
Okay, I was going to say, I don't know with that show.
Tug of War. You know, things like this.
Do they do like the on MTV when they used to have you like
the joust,
put your butt on a giant ice cube and you try to melt the ice cube?
Sure.
With your
yes,
butt?
I would go for that. Yeah. Stuff
okay.
like that.
Yeah.
And we
That'd
just have
fun.
all the different cities with all the different athletes competing head to head city to city.
And
I
then
forgot,
LeBron's
I
like, I pulled a gluteus muscle, so I can't sit on the ice cube.
What a stupid conversation we've been having all day. We already fixed this. I forgot about that. 617-779-7937. We'll continue with all your feedback here. Mego in for Keith. Jones and Keith. We'll get back to the Red Sox. Sam Kennedy says the Red Sox are not done. What are they up to? We'll get to it next. We're going to pick up with those comments from Sam Kennedy today in Fort Myers. Red Sox not done. Hopefully, quote unquote, they're a playoff team. They better be a playoff team, Sam. But let's put those to the side because Rafael Devers is, as far as I can tell, still talking to the media via translator down in Fort Myers. Let me give you a few of these, Mego, and we'll get your reaction.
They're getting worse, by the way.
Okay. Rafael Devers asked about his third base position or where he's going to play on the field. He said, quote, I think we have a hell of a team, and I'm grateful to ownership for the moves they made. Third base is my position. I don't know what their plans are. I made it clear my desires, and whatever happens, we'll see. So those are like kind of ominous, but nothing too bad there. Follow-up, Devers said he will not play DH if they ask him. I'd say that escalated fairly quickly. Interpreted another way, Chris Cotillo. I was reading from Jen McCaffrey there. Chris Cotillo read another way. Rafael Devers adamantly said he does not want to give up third base and does not want to DH. Awesome. More here from Jen McCaffrey. Maybe this is some of what you were alluding to.
Yeah.
Devers said he was told he'd be at third base for a long time when he signed his contract extension and asked if he wanted to be traded if the team decides Bregman is at third. Quote, that's a tough answer to give.
Is it?
I haven't given it much thought. I've been here my entire career. I haven't asked myself that question. I'm open to listening. Oh, boy. And I'm not close to those conversations.
Now, do you think it's I'm open to listening, I'm not closed to those conversations, or I'm not close, like I haven't even started having that conversation?
Oh, well, it says close, but maybe... Yeah. maybe
just because I assume this is through Rafi's interpreter,
yep.
right?
Okay. So look, what was written there in that tweet by Jen McCaffrey says close. Maybe they meant to say closed. I don't pretend to know that. But that's what it says. Devers also said Breslow and Cora asked him about potentially moving positions on Friday, and he's very adamantly against it. Great.
Yikes. Yikes.
It's a tough answer to give that he doesn't want to be traded.
That's not a tough answer. You should say no. If you don't want to be traded, then usually, you know, it wasn't a tough answer for Xander Bogaerts. He cried and said he didn't want to play for another team.
So when I say, and people, I've been taken to task on this in the Twitch chat, I'm like, they have a Rafael Devers problem.
Okay.
This is what I'm talking about.
This is, now they do. This is a problem.
They've had it. This has been a problem. He is a problem. He's a great bat. But He's not a leader, and now they brought in some leadership. That's not necessarily his fault, but that's a problem. And he can't play his position. That's a problem. And now he's unwilling to play his position, and he may or may not want to be traded. That's a Rafael Devers problem.
This is a serious issue, okay? Because Bregman is the obvious answer at third base. I'm surprised that it's as much of a debate as it is, and I suspected before we got these comments that they were trying to appease Rafi.
Who's debating it? Nobody. We all feel the same way. We all want him at third base.
The reporters down at spring training are asking during the introductory press conference. They're asking Cora. They're asking Kennedy. They're saying, where's Bregman going to play? Because he's a golden glove at third base.
I agree.
And your highest paid guy, Rafi, is over there.
I agree. But I'm saying, I don't think there's much debate. I think you ask most Red Sox fans, they're like, he should play at third.
Okay, and then Rafi waves his hand and says, here's the debate.
Right. But I'm just saying, most of us feel the same way about this. Which makes it even more egregious. It's even more perplexing.
This is bad.
Yeah, no, it's not good. So, Rafael Devers, do you think they'll trade him? Well, let's back it up. Okay. Do you think they will? I have no idea. Should they trade him?
No, I don't. I think it's so early. Maybe he's just...
If he won't go to DH, should they trade him?
He's in his feelings right now. What are you going to get for him at this point?
I don't know.
Because that's a big loss. It is a big loss offensively. I think that I don't understand why he would have such a hard time moving to DH right now. It should be obvious to him that he's not getting paid because of his defense. Like that to me demonstrates a lack of self-awareness that is highly questionable.
Seriously. So should they trade him? I'll answer my own question. No, they should not. You get blown away in any kind of deal. Well, then fine. You know, somebody, they're going to offer you Ohtani for Devers, fine. But in general, I'm not selling low on Rafael Devers, and I would rather have Devers play third base and Bregman at second than trade Devers just to get him off the team. But you're on the clock now, and this is the kind of thing that is going to get the fan base to turn on you. And you said this earlier today, Mego, before we even knew about these comments. It's like, Bregman's a leader, Bregman's a winner, Bregman will move to second for the betterment of the team. And in fairness to him, it was to get a contract and et cetera, and a contract he wanted in a place he wants to play. But he will move off his position for the betterment of the team.
Jones, this is icky.
Then you have this guy who, if we're being fair, has won as well, but not a leader on the team, not good defensively. You're going to have Bregman making plays at a gold glove level at second base, should be playing third. This guy's going to be butchering ground balls like he has since he got into the majors. He's going to swing a great bat. But it has the potential for the fan base to turn on you. When you won't move to make your team better, that's an a-hole move.
It is. Look, you got paid a couple years ago. You're the one guy that they held on to from that trifecta of young players. I mean, it probably would have been Mookie, but I sincerely think they just couldn't see the same terms with Mookie Betts, and I'm not sure that he loved this market from a media perspective. That's a whole other conversation. But it's like Rafi never grew into the role that they are desperate to have Bregman play, which is being the leader in the locker room, being the guy who talks to the media all the time. Rafi's talking to the media today, but what he's saying is for his own benefit. It's not speaking for the team.
Is he still going? I'm looking to see if he said anything else.
I haven't checked.
No, he's done.
He's done. Okay, good.
He ended after
not in Boston,
almost 12 and a half minutes.
He ended after, I'm not sure if I want to trade or not. That's tough, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what a position. Even if you're feeling
No matter what you feel. Hey, do you want to be traded? No.
Yeah.
Easy.
I love it here.
Not up to me. Even something like that, which is a passive aggressive thing, but it's like, well, it's not up to me. I mean, that's up. You got to go ask the people who that's up to. That's a passive aggressive thing, and I think we'd read into
that. What a nice welcome for Alex Bregman.
Get ready.
Welcome to the team. I have your position.
This is why signing Bregman is awesome for us on talk radio. It's like now these two are like pitted against each other. We're going to have Bregman people and Devers people. The team should be better, but do we trade debt? Like, look at signing one player. Look at all the avenues that get opened up.
There is a group of people out there that's like, well, why don't you just move Bregman over to second base? Because he's better at third, and the guy who's there is not as good at third as Bregman is. And you just paid all this money, you just brought him in. Everybody in the market's doing backflips saying the Red Sox are back. Shaughnessy's writing in the Globe, the Red Sox are back. It's the Red Sox of old.
Yeah, yeah.
And then today...
This makes me think the Red Sox are back.
You have Devers saying, I'm not going to DH. I get to be third base, and that's that?
Yeah.
Like, that's a mess.
And by the way, I don't have a
third
good answer
base,
to whether
I
or not I'll be traded. Yeah, so like this makes me think the Red Sox are back. This is the Red Sox. This is the old Red Sox experience. You're happy, you're excited, then they do something to shoot themselves in the foot that pisses you off. Again, let me just read these from Jen McCaffrey, among many writers all over this. She says, Devers says he will not DH if they ask him. I like that. He just won't do it. Like, I will not DH. I'm not the DH on this team.
How about now? No. How about now? No.
He was told he'll be at third for a long time when he signed the contract extension. So, look, I've said before, I'd theorize maybe this is Henry holding this up, and he's like, I'm not paying this guy to hit. I'm paying him to play the field. He's going to play the field.
Well, that's great. It's going to be Devers and Henry versus everybody.
Devers is dug in. And then asked if he wanted to be traded. Bregman said, that's tough to answer. I haven't given it much thought.
Devers said that.
What did I say?
You said Bregman.
I'm sorry. Devers said that. I've been here my entire career. I haven't asked myself that question. I'm open to listening, and I'm not close to those conversations.
So Bradfo says Devers said flat out he won't be anything but a third baseman.
But where else is he going? Oh, you're saying even first base.
Like, yeah, because I guess there have been some people who said, why don't you just move him over to first? Like, that's going to make him happy.
Okay, how do you feel about a Red Sox fan? We were all excited for like 3 days. All excited. They signed Bregman. They're going to win the division. They're contenders. The Red Sox are back. Blah, 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 blah. Now Devers won't move to DH. He may want to trade. How do you feel about it? 617-779-7937. A nice, juicy Red Sox story. We'll get into it with all your thoughts coming up next.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yep.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, football,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.